Lord, thank you that you are the King, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, sovereign in control of everything, sovereign over our lives. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that you empower us to become more like Jesus Christ and to live in this world where sin and evil abounds. Lord, I pray that you will open our eyes and our ears and our hearts this morning, that not one will go out here unchanged, but that your word will go deep, will cut some, and Lord, that you will bring some to their knees, to the cross, to Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you will save people all over South Africa as the word is preached. We pray that your name will be lifted high. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it's Father's Day, right? So to all the fathers, congratulations. You've made it until here. I'm so glad I wasn't my father. I remember when I was in grade 6, I totaled my father's caravan. I made a Gypsy 1 from a Gypsy 3 because I drove right through it with my father's bucky. And he was so angry that day that he didn't do anything. I think he knew that he would have killed me. I remember when I was young, when I was a young boy, and I so wanted to please my parents. But as hard as I tried, I just couldn't. I didn't want to lie to my mother, but time and again I lied. Like one day when she asked me where the missing cookies were. And I said, I don't know. But I knew very well that I had it with milk and condensed milk the previous night when I was supposed to be asleep. I lied and I stole. I also cheated my brothers in games and many times got angry at them and hurt them. I knew from a young age that sin was there, always luring me into all sorts of difficulties. It made me very sad and despondent to give in to sin until the day God opened my eyes and I saw that I was born a sinner. And I'm guilty before a holy God. I also came to believe that Jesus died in my place for my sins and that I was free. I confessed my sins and found true forgiveness and learned that I'm not condemned anymore. In Christ, I'm forgiven and on my way to heaven. The old Willy was gone and a new Willy was born. But lo and behold, soon after my salvation, guess what popped up again? The old Willy, the sins of the flesh. Like a pop-up screen with unwelcome ads. My flesh. And it seems the longer I walk on this journey, the more I realize my sinfulness. The more you learn about God and His holiness and His word, the greater the sadness when you sin. We are citizens of heaven. The old man died and the new man was born. But lo and behold, die kat kom weer. See, we are positionally clean and washed whiter than snow. But as long as we are in this body, in these bodies, sin and the flesh will pop up time and again. You are lying if you say you don't have this battle. But the sad thing is we even go further. Sometimes we think we have a license to sin now because Jesus paid the price and He has forgiven us and now we can indulge in sin. Some Christians then live as if they are victims of sin. They have a sinner mentality. God will just forgive me every time I sin. I can quickly look at pornography because God will forgive me. I can drink too much and become a little drunk because God will forgive me. I can get angry and shout at others because God will just forgive me again and again. God will excuse me. I sin because I'm a poor sinner. True believer, then you know this tension within. It is difficult. It is a constant battle. Am I right? But brothers and sisters, do you think God saved us from slavery to sin to stay slaves to sin? Are we just poor sinners in a world where we cannot stand against sin? Are we just to roll over and die? Are we to accept that we are sinners on a losing journey until Jesus returns? No, beloved. We are not sinners fighting a losing battle. We are saints on a victorious journey which will reach its final victory the day when Jesus returns. Amen? So let us open our Bibles at Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. And our text is from verse 16 to 25. Galatians 5 from verse 16. Are you ready? Let us open the ears. Let us read. Because this is the word of God. It's not what I say. It's what the word says. Paul wrote in Galatians 5 verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Boom! This is a truth canon. Here is a great truth for today. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Listen to this. They are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Now, just a bit of background. Paul is writing here to a divided church, hammered by false teaching. False teachers tried to convert them to Judaism, practicing circumcision and adhered to Jewish laws. And he is pleading with the Galatians not to go back to where they came from. These Galatians gave in to the fleshly desire of legalism. The flesh can either produce legalistic works, thinking it can please God, or it can give license to sin, now that people are free. False teachers and group pressure caused the Galatians to think it is cool and more spiritual to be circumcised and adhere to Jewish laws. And we still find that today. There are some Christians who pursue Judaism and think they can please God by doing works and all sort of legal stuff. Man is always tempted to think he can work himself into heaven. Man is proud. The flesh do not understand that Jesus paid the price once and for all on the cross. The flesh wants recognition. The flesh wants to do something. And do not trust God's forgiveness in Christ. And Paul is using strong language here in chapter 5. Let's just look at verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. He wrote, "Freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law." Look at verse 4. "You are severed from Christ. You would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace." That's sad. Look at verse 7. "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. Little leaven leavens the whole lump." Look at verse 12. This is strong. "I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." After this, Paul continues now in verse 16, and he explains to the Galatians how to live victoriously on this Christian journey. We're on a journey, right? A journey to heaven. Do you want to live a victorious life? Do you want to conquer the flesh? Yes, I want to. Yes. I want to focus on one idea this morning, and that is victory. Victory. And for victory, I want to hold up verse 16. And you can go and memorize verse 16 as a truth banner. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Please read it with me as I read it again. Galatians 5, verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Let this verse go into your mind, and from the mind enter the heart, and from the heart let it enter our hands and feet. From the text today, verse 16 to 25, let me give you two steps to victory for your Christian journey. There's victory available for Christians. If you want to live a victorious life, remember then these two steps. And the first step to victory for your Christian journey is this. And listen up, dads. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Stand up, man up, and fight. Face the reality of this war. We must make peace with the fact that there is a war. Sometimes we just want to sit in the couch, sit back and have a comfortable life. But we are called to fight. Face the reality of this war. Christians are human battlegrounds. There's a war raging inside us between our sinful nature and the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 17. "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. They're not working together. They're not on the same side. To keep you from doing the things you want to do. The day you are saved, brothers and sisters, you enter a war you never had to face as an unbeliever. We are involved in a fierce battle between the flesh and the spirit, the old man and the new man. If there's no such battle in your life, I don't think you are saved. Unbelievers don't care. Yes, there's some moral awareness or some conscience, but not a fierce battle because the spirit is not present in an unbeliever. The flesh tempts each one of us daily to lust, to indulge, to choose comfort instead of ministry, to anger, to gossip, to brag, to be lazy, to sexual immorality, and to give in to many sinful desires. This is war. Our lives are at war. Christians are human battlegrounds. We are here to fight. If you ignore this war, you're on dangerous ground. It will be like ignoring a man with a knife next to your bed when you wake up in the middle of the night. You think he will disappear if you ignore him? Christian, you are on a real journey, a hard, cruel journey, and on this journey you will meet the enemy. You are at war. This is not a playground or a games room. We do not live in the clouds with the angels. The first step that will set you up for victory is to know that you are constantly in a fierce battle, the flesh versus the spirit, and to fight the fight. Our fights look like this. Something like this. The spirit prompts us to do one thing, and the flesh says, no, I don't want to. I want to do the other thing. The spirit says, get up and pray. Let me teach you more about Jesus. The flesh says, go away. I want to sleep in. The spirit says, go and speak to that new guy in church. The flesh says, no, man, he looked like a rich intellectual. He will find someone to talk to. Let us take a closer look at the flesh and the spirit, the two opponents in this war. And one can actually identify which opponent is dominant in a person's life, because Paul is giving evidences here. So as I go through these scriptures, you can measure yourself. Where do you stand? The flesh, verse 19 tells us, now the works of the flesh are evident. The works of the flesh are evident. It is clear to see. You might think your jealousy or anger or pride or lust in the heart is something people won't see. Paul says it's evident. It is clear to see. Look at them in verse 19. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the evident works of the flesh. And those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is serious stuff. This is life or death stuff. It is evident when someone is ruled by his flesh. You can clearly see it in the works he does. If these works are habitual works, continuous, and a pattern of one's life, listen, if it's the pattern of your life, I'm not saying if you do it once or if you have a struggle, if it come up now and then and you confess it and you go on. If this is the pattern of your life, if you are ruled by this, it will lead to not inheriting God's kingdom. Worse, it will lead to death and eternal condemnation in hell. Revelation 21 verse 8 describes it. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. An unbeliever will practice these works of the flesh and will not think it's wrong, because he doesn't have the Spirit to show him. Brothers and sisters, the unbeliever does not have this battle. And in a way, if you experience this battle between the flesh and the Spirit, it helps to know that you are then on the right path. Amen? And this battle is real for the Christian. We also give in to the desires of the flesh, and then we are sad and depressed and sometimes hopeless. The works of the flesh can be grouped into four categories. There's the sexual category, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. And this is any distortion or perversion of God's design for sexual intimacy. God designed sexual intimacy as a beautiful, joyful gift for married couples. The flesh distorts this to something cheap and ugly. The flesh rebels against God's design, and we see the fruit of it in homosexuality, sexual relationships outside of marriage, people living together, people who decide against God's design. Friend, if your life is characterized by a pattern of habitual lustful thinking, sexual immorality, and sensuality, you are probably not saved. Think about that. And the Bible says you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Then there's the religious category. Look at verse 20. Idolatry. Tozer says idolatry is worshiping anything other than God. This includes self. Sorcery. Witchcraft. The heart of witchcraft is attempting to control God. It's about doing things to get God to respond to us and do what we desire. The flesh wants to worship self. The Spirit points to God and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Friend, if your life is characterized by a pattern of habitual self-love, selfishness, manipulation or sorcery, you are probably not saved. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then there's the social category regarding relationships. And again, fathers, listen up. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. These are all about these bitter conflicts that cause discord between people. So many Christians walk with bitterness in their hearts. And you know what? Others can see it. That's why some are grumbling and klaar and mor and al die dinge. So many Christians walk with anger in their hearts. And you will know it because they will tell you how angry they are and whom they are angry with. So many grudges, so much unforgiveness, so much unrepentance, bitterness in our hearts. What a waste of time and energy for the Lord. Friend, if your life is characterized by a pattern of enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, you are probably not saved. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then there's the uncontrolled appetite category. That's verse 21. It's about drunkenness, orgies, and all of those. This is where we have desires that end up enslaving us, and we yield ourselves to it to such a degree that it ends up mastering us. So it's not that we eat or drink. It is that we become gluttons or drunkards. It is not that we have conversations, but that we became gossips. It all becomes this cycle of addiction whereby we can't have enough food or sex or stuff or friends or money or fame or power or pleasure. And then there's this last category of the things like these in verse 21. Just in case I missed any, says Paul, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Friend, if your life is characterized by a pattern of habitual drunkenness and uncontrolled desires, you are probably not saved. And if you're not saved, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You are lost. So if you realize this morning that your life is characterized by these sins or some of these sins, and you're enslaved to them, I have good news for you. Jesus died for those sins. He paid the penalty on the cross. Bring your sins this morning to the cross. Confess them and you will be saved. God is a holy God. God is light. There's no darkness in Him. No darkness can enter His kingdom. Our sins cause a barrier that we cannot enter God's kingdom. But John wrote in John 3 verse 16, but God so loved the world that He sent His begotten Son to die for sinners, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He doesn't say whoever follows all kinds of laws in moots and moonies. Though whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 6:25, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, this morning, come to Jesus. Bring your sins to the cross. Bow the knee before Christ, and He will save you. The Bible tells us so. Who are saved and who battle with these sinful desires, remember that Jesus nailed it to the cross 2,000 years ago. Confess anew your sinful desires and walk by the Spirit. So on the one side of this battlefield, we find the flesh as the enemy. It stands in direct opposition to the Spirit. So let us take a closer look at the Spirit. Let's read verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Wonderful. Important. Please note that Paul is speaking about the works of the flesh in verse 19. But in opposition to the works of the flesh, he speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. Not the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. These fruits are empowered by Jesus Christ and His Spirit. It's not our works. The Spirit doesn't produce works. He produces fruit. He is a person, God's Spirit, whom was promised by Jesus. And when you have His Spirit, you bear fruit, Spirit fruit, Jesus fruit. Let's quick, John 15, verse 26. John 15, 26, but when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you, this is Jesus speaking, from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. This is the Spirit who opposes the flesh. It is evident when someone has God's Spirit in his heart because you see the fruit. What are the evidences of the Spirit? Well, there they are in verse 20, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, note, he does not say fruits. The Spirit produces fruit, one fruit, rooted in Jesus Christ. All true Christians will produce this fruit, if Christ truly lives in them. Love is the basis of this fruit because it is rooted in God's greatest command to love God and your neighbors. The Spirit fruit produces nine characteristics in Christians. And all of these characteristics are Christ's characteristics. Whenever we bear fruit, like love, joy, or peace, it is not born in the flesh. We can take no recognition for it because it is the fruit of the Spirit. And there are no limits on the fruit of the Spirit. We can do as much as we can. Let's look at them quickly. And when we go to each one of them, think about Jesus. Think about Jesus and His love, which is agape love. It is a willing, self-sacrificial love. Joy. Think about Jesus. It's happiness based on divine promises and eternal spiritual realities. It is a gift from God. Peace. It's that inner calm that are above all understanding. And it can only result as forgiveness of sins and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us think about patience and Jesus. To endure injuries by others, physical or emotional, it is a willingness to accept even an irritating, painful situation. Kindness. It is a tender concern for others. Think about Jesus and His mercy at the cross. Goodness. It's any good work you do in Christ. It is Spirit-enabled. Faithfulness. Think about Jesus again. His loyalty to His Father and obedience at the cross. Gentleness. It means to be humble and have a gentle attitude, patiently submissive in every offense, while having no desire for revenge. Think about Jesus, who forgave those who crucified Him. And then self-control. That's about restraining our passions and appetites. And again, think about Jesus and His 40 days against Satan. The question is, are you being controlled by the flesh or by the Spirit? You know where you stand because it is evident. And we can measure ourselves this morning against this scripture. It's impossible to be full of the Spirit if you're full of yourself. So the first step on this journey to victory is to accept the reality of war. It's a war. Don't be misled. It's not a joyride. It's not comfortable. It is war. And in this war, we should fight the good fight. And this brings me to our second step to victory on our journey, for our journey. You must fight on the right side. Fight on the winning side. Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We definitely have a winner here, the Holy Spirit. In school, I was always in the yellow team, and many times we were the losing team. It's not easy to belong to a losing team, is it? It's not nice. And I had no choice in which team I could belong to. My surname put me automatically in the yellow team. Brothers and sisters, our Savior automatically put us in the red team by His blood. And guess what? We are the winning team. We are not sinners fighting a losing battle. We are saints fighting alongside the Holy Spirit in a victorious battle. Note, Paul isn't telling us that we need to get more Spirit. We need another spiritual rally to receive more Spirit or other revelations. We already have the Spirit. We don't need to do anything to receive the Spirit. We receive the Spirit the moment we are born again. Jesus promised His Spirit to each of His children who believes in Him. Amen? The Holy Spirit's role is to confirm, to conform us to the image of His Son. To do this, the Holy Spirit will nudge us, guide us, and illuminate us. The Holy Spirit will give us a greater understanding of God's Word and insight into people and situations around us. He will equip us to do the things God desires for us and that are ultimately best for us. Paul's words literally means, by the Spirit, keep walking. It is a moment-by-moment vital and attentive relationship with God. The Spirit will empower us to fight this battle against the flesh. Walking by the Spirit is not about having all sorts of experiences, like speaking in tongues or being slain in the Spirit or all sorts of other experiences. It's not about emotional elation. Walking with the Spirit is about journeying with the Spirit day in and day out. It's a day-by-day reality fighting the flesh, overcoming sin, and following our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a victory walk. It's like walking with my five sons, adult sons. I mean, I look up to them, and I feel very safe when I walk with them. I think we will win any battle because they're on my side, and they are big. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Well, first, it means to crucify the flesh. Verse 24 tells us, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you want to walk in the Spirit and have victory over sin, remember the cross. Jesus died for our sins, for your sins. Now, crucify your flesh. The moment a believer puts his his faith in Christ and brings his sins to the cross where he was nailed to the cross, set free and belongs to a new kingdom. The old has passed away. And now let us go to Colossians for a moment. Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3, verse 3. And Paul wrote, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You see, positionally, we have died. The old sinner is gone. But it is also for you, the believer, an ongoing action of laying down your life, crucifying the flesh. It's about putting to death the flesh. Look at verse 5, Colossians 3, verse 5. "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." And here is the same list. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Verse 7, "In these you too once walked when you were living in them." But look at verse 8, "But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his Creator." Jesus said himself, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You must be pitiless against the flesh. The flesh is not something we should treat with respect, caution, and honor. The flesh deserves nothing less than to be crucified. If besetting sins persistently plague us, it is either because we have never truly repented, or because having repented, we are not crucifying the flesh. It is as if, having nailed our old nature to the cross, we keep returning to the scene of our execution. We need to learn to leave it there. Leave it there. Robert Orban said, "Most people would like to be delivered from temptation, but would also like it to keep in touch. The moment some jealous or impure thought invade our minds, we must kill it right there. It is dangerous to dwell on thoughts which produce bitterness or any other sin. Put off the old self. The moment that a lustful thought enters my mind, it must be eliminated. You can't even go a little further. Remember the cross. Remember Jesus. It was nailed to the cross. It should stay there, and if it lifts its head, chop it off. Crucify the flesh, and you will be on the winning side, victorious. Make no provision for the flesh. Cut any opportunities that lure us into our sinful desires. Paul instructs Timothy to flee youthful lusts. If you know you have a weakness for lust, flee from opportunity that can cause you to stumble. I'm speaking to young men, to old men, and to everyone right here. Then, secondly, how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, we follow the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit means being led by the Spirit. The one leads and the other follows. It is the Spirit who does the leading, but we would do the following. Look at verse 18. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." I'm back in Galatians 5, verse 18. Being led by the Spirit pictures being led by a good shepherd. We are led by the Spirit through His Word, through his all his directives and commands and encouragements. Whatever the Bible says, the Spirit says. We are also led by the Spirit by His gentle voice. His voice teaches us to be godly fathers. It's the voice that keeps us from giving in the flesh. The voice that keeps us from telling that ugly joke. The voice that prompts us to pray for someone. The voice that encourages us to share the gospel. The voice that brought you here this morning. Walking by the Spirit also means keeping in step with the Spirit. Bly en pas. The verb in verse 25 literally means to draw people up in line. It has a military connection. Maybe the older people will remember. Attention! Rechts, rug! Kom in lijn, troep! Forward, march! Left, right, left, right, left, right. If we keep in step with the Spirit, we follow Him closely. Meaning obedience in following His footsteps. We literally walk in His footsteps. We can also see it as a dance. There's the man who leads the lady onto the dance floor, and then they dance the two-step. She needs to keep in step with the man who leads to be able to dance the two-step. Is it true? Yes. If He says, the Holy Spirit says, right, we turn right. If He says up, we go up. The Spirit leads us, but we are to keep in step by being obedient. How do we keep in step with the Spirit? Well, by praying. Prayer activates God's grace and omnipotence. Colossians 1 verse 9 says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. To keep in step, we can memorize scriptures. When we memorize scripture, the Spirit can use it to keep us in step with His guidance. For example, how do I keep in step with the Spirit concerning the sin of anger? Well, by remembering Colossians 3 verse 8, where He says, put off all anger and malice and whatever. Or by remembering Proverbs 14 verse 17, a man of quick temper acts foolishly. That will keep me from being angry. I don't want to be a fool or called a fool by God. We can keep in step by actively pursuing our daily quiet time and growing in our relationship with God. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, without that daily quiet time in my life, I would fail, because I know I'm in need of the empowerment of Jesus Christ. The moment I don't go and pray and read my Bible in a daily, continuous way, that moment I fall, I fall down and I sin. We can keep in step by attending church, attending Bible studies, and in the fellowship with the saints. If I keep in step with the Spirit, I will find victory over sin. And gradually over time, and those who are experienced here will agree with me, you will find that some sins disappear. Some you have overcome. Some are easier to deal with than 10 years ago. new ones pop up. But we are in the winning team, right? With Jesus and His Spirit on our side. Remember, fight on the winning side. In conclusion, the Christian life is a journey with many turnoffs, mountain passes, ups and downs, and on this journey we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to live a victorious life. From the text this morning, we learn two steps to victory on this journey. And when you think about it, when you fight any battle, there's two things you need to do. You need to fight. You can't win a battle if you don't fight. You must know there's a battle and you are there to fight this battle. And then you must fight on the right side, on the winner's side, to be able to win the battle. So, fight the good fight against the flesh and fight on the right side together with the Spirit. And we do that by crucifying the flesh, by following His lead, and by keeping in step with Him. I trust that you will choose the winning side and that you will grow in your saint mentality. Get rid of any sinner mentality. With Jesus and His Spirit, we are victors on our journey, and there will come a day when we will be free from this body and this flesh, with a glorified body, walking in eternal victory, with no battle against the flesh. How great would that be? And we will be perfect in a final victory. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit working in us. Thank you that we can have this in our minds and in our hearts, that you are with us, that you are guiding us, that you are leading us. And Lord, thank you that you empower us, because without you, we will certainly lose this battle. Lord, we are weak. We are a needy people. And we thank you that we can look up to you to help us. Thank you that you sent the helper and that you empower us to walk a victorious walk. Thank you that there is victory over sin. Thank you that you overcame. Thank you that you died and that you nailed our sins to the cross. Thank you for your blood that flowed for forgiveness of sins. Lord, I pray that you will help us to love you more and to become more and more like you on this road, on this journey to heaven. Thank you that we are citizens of heaven and that we can think in that way. I pray, Lord, that you will bless us and that you will give us favor on our different journeys this week, and that you will protect us. We pray all of these in Jesus' name. Amen.